Dear Cassius Jones, I arrived safely in Ravengrow on the 2nd. I apologise for not writing to you immediately upon my arrival, but it's been a challenging time. So much has happened, it's difficult to put it into words. It all started with Lorimore's funeral. During it, a few of the townsfolk attempted to stop the procession in protest. Accusations of necromancy. Ridiculous falsehoods, of course. It seems I was not the only one specifically requested by Petros. A strange collection of individuals with nothing in common other than Lorimore himself. He always did have that air around him that drew all oddities and outcasts to him. In his will, Lorimore asked that we stay in Ravengrow for a month after the funeral to ensure the well-being of his daughter, Kendra. She seems to have taken after her father academically and has quite the arcane talent. Petros has also asked that we return some books to the university, so I'll be on my way home soon. It seems that the group of other individuals Lorimore requested for his funeral are the inquisitive sort, so we began looking into the circumstances surrounding Lorimore's death. We discovered that his death was no accident. He was murdered, likely by members of the Whispering Way. Somehow, in all of this, we discovered that the burnt remains of the prison in Ravengrow, Harrowstone Prison, you might have heard of it, is haunted. Was haunted by the ghost who died in the fire there. Several of these ghosts, more powerful than your typical spirit, were attempting to break free and wreak havoc on the town. We've managed to destroy these spirits, a tedious process that doesn't bear repeating. There were a few moments where things were a bit touch and go. I was so scared I wouldn't. Don't worry him. But luckily we were able to overcome them without any grievous injury. No, that's a lie. Loss of life. We are currently resting and recuperating, waiting until it's time to head home to Leopardstadt. I'm curious of what you'll make of my friends. Oh, I've known them like 2 weeks. Are they friends now? These people I've been working with. They're an interesting bunch. There's Lunamote, a halfling spellcaster with a strong connection to fate and an ability to influence its course. She also has a very interesting relationship with the concept of life and death. There's Amaranth, a fearsome warrior with a talent for seeking out and slaying undead, something that has been infinitely useful in our time in Harrowstone Prison. She's very courageous and has a good soul. And Avena, a woman with some unusual arcane abilities, but also a thirst for knowledge and an abundance of questions that reminds me so much of myself when I was younger. I think you'll like her. I do. Well, that's enough about my time in Ravengrow. How is Leopardstadt? I cannot wait to return once this month is over. How are you? Are you eating well? How fares your health? Is the intern still as irritating, or has she begun to learn yet? Who's been covering my lectures in my absence? I dearly hope it is not the same fellow who did so the last time I was away. He left the lecture hall in such disarray, and my students were complaining for months. I've missed you, and I'm excited to come home. We should arrive early in Farast, no later than the 10th. I look forward to seeing you. Warm regards, Emlyn Jones. Your favourite. Welcome to Roper's Pod, episode 54, Wearing Me Down.
This week on Roll Plus Pod, the party continue to fight tooth and nail against their adversaries to defend their newfound friends in the Crooked Kin. But when things get sticky, can the party apply the heat to their foes and drive them back? And in dire situations, new tricks must be used to tip the tide.
I'm just excited for this. It's a new spell. I've not done it before, okay? It's like...
Oh, yes!
The big boy.
And dangerous actions must be taken.
As some literal sparks come from them and fly over to the webbing.
But always with the utmost respect, even against those who ally against the party.
Canine gentlemen, or gentle ladies, or gentle thems, we don't actually know.
But even in the face of danger, one must always find the funny.
Yes, it has the D.
And when life is on the line, expediency is key.
I tell you, all the things the GM just said.
Can the party overcome this challenge and protect their new friends? Can they find out more about the able companion who has aided them in this fight? Can they discover more about what has caused such a dangerous situation to occur? And what will they face as they continue their journey toward Leopardstadt? It's time to find out in Roll Plus Pod.
It's been a while since we've been able to stop in the middle of combat, and I've missed it, and I'm so glad we're back. How do you guys feel?
You need to tell me how we've rolled, or else I'm going to kill you.
Okay.
I mean, I'd feel more nervous if it wasn't for the wonderful NPC you've gifted us.
Yeah, this is very true.
Wow. I think right.
Things could easily.
I really prefer if they didn't.
She was a werewolf all along.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, hang on. Is this kind of lycanthropy transmissible?
You don't know. On your save, on your knowledge check.
Yeah.
Do I know?
No, not with it. You wouldn't have rolled high enough for that.
No.
That's the deep knowledge.
No, that is the deep knowledge. Written down next to the deep magics that Aslan knows well. So, last time you headed out of Tamravenna. Tamravenna is the name I'm looking for. You headed out of Tamravenna. And you had been heading kind of towards Corto, got a little bit lost, maybe, or maybe taken a detour, maybe took a less direct route, you're not sure. But either way, Amaranth had noticed you were being pursued. You spoke to Caleb, had a bit of a discussion with him. He sent Lydia back to talk to you, and essentially he came up with this plan, you agreed to, that they would take the majority of the caravan a little bit further along the road away from where you would end up stopping, which they had identified this area, they knew it fairly well, that would be a pretty defensible place to set up some kind of perhaps ambush to maybe deal with the threat or at least scare it off, if it indeed was a threat, without it endangering the rest of the caravan that maybe aren't quite so combat competent. You agreed to this, you found your way to the unnamed lake that remains unnamed, and will forever remain unnamed upon pain of death and dissection. So I'm glad we've all cleared that up. Your way here one of the caravan did actually agree to join you. I don't think anyone's spoken to her, or I don't think anyone had spoken to her yet. But you had seen her around a little bit. This is the kind of dark reddish skinned acrobat from the acrobatic troupe, a little bit shaved side of her head, I think I nearly used the word wild last time, but that feels a bit too strong. Untamed is probably the better way of phrasing it. This the hair that she does have, it has that kind of untamed quality, this lithe muscular build, these like leather and cloth hand and foot wraps that you now know are magical. So of course, as a normal adventuring party, you'll want to kill her and loot the body, I'm sure.
Evil that will make sweet, sweet love.
Or that, and pilfer her goods in the night. Yes, you set up a little kind of a bonfire area, were approached, trying to be stealthily, but they were no match for your perceptive abilities, by these three werewolves in their hybrid forms. Lunamote knows a little bit about them, seems to be the only one who does. You have engaged with them. Casimina, your your temporary companion, has with the help of Emlyn. I say with the help of Emlyn, we're doing some crack shooting from the side there, getting a little bit of sniper action almost going now with that range.
Yeah, yeah.
Although you are out of grip points, which is going to be vitally important, I'm sure. Yes, you've taken one of them down. Two of them are still standing, and we left it off with Avena having cast Web. So you've got the area marked out. The two werewolves that are still standing are in that area, and I rolled saves for them last time. And
I have my DC ready.
I'm sure you do. What is that DC?
Or is it more fun if you say what you've rolled and tell you if you pass or fail?
Is this so? Do you accuse me of cheating? Is that the implication here, sir?
Just like reversing the situation where we normally give you numbers and go, does this do a thing?
Well, one of them rolls very, very low.
Okay.
One of them rolled in a more middling area.
Okay.
At least by their standards.
Okay.
So the very, very low roll was a 5.
Fail.
The middling roll was a 13.
Fail.
I know. Because you have stupidly high DCs. So, yes, they are both, I believe,
grappled.
So I will apply that to them now. Grappled is there.
I believe it is also worth mentioning that the entire area of the web is considered difficult terrain. Anyone moving through the webs must make a combat maneuver check or escape artist check as part of their move action. And it's also very flammable.
Oh, is it now?
Good to know.
It also provides some cover, I believe.
Yes, I believe it does. If at least 5 feet of web between you and an opponent, it provides normal cover. And if there's at least 20 feet of web between you and an opponent, it provides total cover.
Fuck.
Yes. So that is the end of Avena's turn, is it?
I didn't move, I don't think.
No, I don't believe you did.
In which case, I'm going to take a move action and keep sidling around the lake to get a little bit closer.
Okie doke. That brings us to Luna mode.
Yes. Hello, darling.
Okay. Bring the pain, darling. Bring the pain.
I'm just excited for this. It's a new spell. I've not done it before, okay? It's like
the
big boy.
You have indeed been casting, haven't you, for the whole of the last round? Very long casting time for you, being a whole week.
It is, but you know what? No one attacked me, so I've not had to like lose it or anything. So, as I said last week, I had like silvery threads almost coming out of my hand, reaching out across the bank to just below where Casimina is standing, swirling around to slowly form into a summoning from somewhere else as I cast Summon Monster 2. And because it's the top of my turn,
it happens now. Yes. So we decided off air, didn't we, that you're going to randomly determine what is coming up. So would you like to roll a d12 for me, please?
Yes. Do I type in 1d12?
Yeah.
D12. That's an 8. What does that mean, Chris?
Okay. You summon a celestial.
Ooh.
Hyena.
Ooh.
Indeed. So you have a celestial hyena, which acts at the beginning of your turn. No, acts after you, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Acts after you. I don't know what the rules are. We'll look it up afterwards. I should have had much more prepared for this.
I did tell you this a week ago.
Yes. It will act after your turn. And you can tell me what you would like it to do, because it is technically kind of controlled by you, but I will determine what that actually works out to in terms of actions.
I want it to attack the werewolves.
Yes. Okay. I meant more like if you want to target a specific werewolf or anything like that. Like if there's we would do that at the end of your turn, because it's at the end of your turn they'll act, so we'll figure it out then. So if you want to do whatever you're doing for this turn, you can.
Can I still have my full round?
Yeah, you still have your whole turn.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to run 20 feet across the water, or not. 1 second. So I'm sort of in... How deep is this water, actually?
So where you are there, it probably is going to be more like a swim. If you're a bit further up here... where the water is lighter, you are looking at more wading through at your height, but in the darker areas, it would be swimming for you.
Okay, let me just measure a couple of things.
Unfortunately, this is the slight problem with being short.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that is absolutely fine. Okay, so I'm going to run up to the slightly shallower area of river to try and get across, kind of.
Yeah.
And then... Avia mentioned something about webbing being flammable. And you know what other spell? I've already used one in this battle, but I'm going to use it again because why the hell not? And I'm going to, same hand that I used to cast Summon Monster 2, I'm just going to reach out onto the bank between the werewolves and cast Spark on the webbing with like a click of my fingers as some literal sparks come from them and fly over to the webbing.
Okay. So, what square are you targeting in the web?
The one in between the two werewolves.
I'm just going to make sure we get that with a nice, big, bright red colour. Because I know what rules I am going to use for the fire. So, there is a patch of burning webbing currently aflame.
Wonderful.
That, I believe, is your turn, Unimote, isn't it?
Yes, that is all of me. It's my hyena's turn.
It is, yes. So, what would your hyena? Do you have a particular preference on which one it tries to target?
Okay. I think I would have just gone attack the werewolf. Well, sorry, attack the werewolves.
Attack the werewolves. Okay, so it's not a. I mean, it's not a smart animal, but it's not a stupid animal. It's probably going to go that way. And he's going to move around Amaranth to get to the werewolf because it's not going to try and go through the web because it's not that silly.
That's
but it has entered the web. Does it have to do anything for entering the web, David?
I will check the exact wording it provides. 1 second. It specifically states anyone moving through the webs.
Okay, so we're moving into should be fine, but when it moves again will be the problem.
That's
okay.
Would be the way I'd read it, yes.
So, it is going to do what hyenas do, which is bite this motherfucker. I mean, yes, it's also going to cackle hilariously. Unfortunately, it's not going to hit with an 18.
Aww.
Even with the creature being grappled. So they're unfortunately not quite, but it's still there and it might still help matters a little bit. That brings us to this dude who is the most southerly of our two canine gentlemen or gentle ladies or gentle thems. We don't actually know. So gentle folk. And they are going to, first they need to try and break free of this grapple, don't they? Can break free by making a combat maneuver check or an escape artist against the DC of the spell. So which is better for it? Not one of those. Okay, combat maneuver check it is.
Can you face down my mighty DC?
You tell me. 12?
No.
Okay, so it's still grappled, which is difficult because it can't do anything. It's going to just sit there and burn. Okay. That brings us to Casamina. What is she likely? She's not going to go into the web because she's not that stupid. She might go there. Yeah, she's just going to go there for now and hold a little bit, I think. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do that. Okay. Amaranth, it is your turn.
And I can finally stab.
I stopped it for you, Amaranth, so you can stab.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Let's hope I actually land a hit. 24? Fuck yeah, so that's 10 points of slashing damage.
Unfortunately.
No, damage reduction.
Yeah, it has damage reduction 10, so it doesn't take any damage from that attack, I'm afraid.
That's
as the thick hide of the creature, unfortunately, seems to you can't quite get enough purchase on the edge of the blade to cut in.
Oh, these werewolves fucking suck. Okay.
I've just noticed I'm a fool. We can finish off the rest of your turn, Amaranth, and then I'm going to let Emlyn go because apparently I skipped Emlyn. I'm really sorry.
Oh, sorry. I just went through the whole it's your turn thing.
Yeah, no, it was my fault. I skipped because when I moved after Luna, it took us to Emlyn, but that was when I did the hyena stuff. So then I kind of skipped again to Casmina, so I missed Emlyn altogether.
It's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Bafolim is just gonna vibe.
Okay, he is just gonna vibe because webs, and you found him in woods where there were bad spiders, so he knows better. Emlyn, would you like to do your stuff now?
I just wanted to move, that was all. Yeah.
You can do your stuff. You sure you don't want to want to take a shot into the webs, no?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to skedaddle to this side of the water, what is it called? Thank you.
the liquid thing.
Yeah, I'm just going to action and move, just sprint across.
Okay, you are now you're chilling next to Bartholomew.
Yeah, sure, that was all I wanted to do.
Okay, that brings us then to this other guy who is currently grappled. He is going to try and break free of the grapple as well. He rolls 17.
That is the DC.
Oh, yes! I mean, oh no, he's not grappled anymore. What a shame for you guys.
But if he moves through it...
He ain't moving nowhere. He just needs to get ungrappled so he can start swinging at the two people next to him because this guy has cleave. So he's going to swing with his short sword, with his long sword at Amaranth.
Classic. Against my...
Your armor class.
No.
Will it hit the hyena if it's cleave?
Yeah, but only if I'd hit Amaranth first.
Ah, I see.
Should have gone for hyena with the first.
Probably should have done. Avena.
Yes, I'm going to... what am I going to do? I'm going to move up another 30 feet, hugging the lake again, approaching my web, where everyone is ensnared among them. And then I'm going to quickly check some distances. That's really fortunate for that.
If you're checking distances where I think you are, I should point out that because there's more than 20 feet of web between you and the werewolves, you do not have line of sight on them.
That's fair.
Just in case that affects any of your planning.
Have I
go into
myself?
The web? Do it. It's your web.
It'll be fine.
Make a nice hammock in there.
I'm going to drop a hand into one of my many pockets, curl around the badge of office, and cast a empower. Is it empowered? What was the
extend?
Extend. I'm going to cast an extended mage armor, please.
Okay, sure. So that then is for twice the.
Yes.
Thing, isn't it? So that is
8 hours.
8 hours for you.
Is it get to a point where I can just wear mage armor permanently?
I mean, as much as we don't talk about it much on here, but D&D 5th edition does have mage armor as 8 hours. So you're kind of at that level already that you would do the pop it on in the morning and I'm good most of the day kind of thing.
Figure out how to customize it so it presents in an aesthetically pleasing fashion.
So you have mage armor on. Anything else on your turn? No, you've moved.
Nothing
you've standard.
I can do.
That's it, isn't it? Okay. So at the end of your turn, beginning of Lunamote's turn, the fire is going to spread. So
I actually have the rules on how much damage this does as well.
I know. I have already looked at the rules. So it is in these areas that it spreads. Two, and then really annoyingly, the web in the middle is now burned away. So there is no web in the area the fire is going to continue spreading out in a circle. So anything inside that circle is no longer web, but it will look like web.
Okay.
As long as we all know, we good. And then is it 2d4? Is that right?
I believe so. Yes. Double checking. Yes. 2d4.
That's what I thought. So 2d4 on the top guy first is 2 points of damage.
How does his damage resistance react to the fire?
Damage resistance does not apply to energy damage.
Ha ha!
And, ooh, the guy to the bottom got a full 8.
Oofed. That's a real oof,
is that. And then, Lunamote, it is your turn.
Okay. So, what I am going to do is, I'm going to use my little legs.
Do you use those little legs?
I'm going to use my very little legs to run up to this bush, and I'm going to hide behind the bush because, you know, I can't get any further because I've only got 20 feet of movement, which sucks ass.
Okay.
I need to get some speedy boots, guys. We need to sort this out. This is not okay.
You could get a mount.
I could, I guess, but that's also going
to seem like a lot. To be fair, because you're a halfling, you could actually use a wolf as a mount, I believe.
I could probably have used this hyena if I'd have thought about it a little bit more logically.
Anyway. To be fair, your hyena only has another 3 rounds, so...
Yeah. It's still better than whatever. Anyway, I'm going to cast Cure Light Wounds on myself.
Okie doke.
Because I am.
Why not?
Yes. So I get 5 points of healing back.
Nice.
And that's my turn.
Okay, Emlyn. Cool. Oh, no, not Emlyn. Hyena. Not Emlyn. I apologize. Yeah. But remind me when we finish the hyena that you're next, because I don't want to forget you again. Hyena's probably not actually going to do anything because the werewolf's on fire right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not going to try and attack into fire. It's not stupid.
If I told it to, would it?
Might do, because it is technically not a hyena. It's technically a fae celestial or a fiend that has been bound into the form of a hyena. So yeah, why not?
Cool.
It's going to try and bite. Celestial being formerly known as a hyena, formerly known as a celestial being.
Yeah, something along those lines. He's going to try and bite. It's probably going to be a foolish idea, but he's going to try it anyway. I mean, I rolled a natural 20.
Hell yes, hyena!
So that is a critical threat. Unfortunately, my confirmation is only a 6 on the die, which is a total of 9. So not confirmed, but it is an automatic hit. The thing I need to determine, though, is whether or not it counts as magical attack. I don't think it does.
Oh.
Ooh, one moment. I need to look something up now because there's a possibility that if I was smart, I would have done things a little bit differently. And actually, it might have done things quite well. So let me have a quick look. So, a couple of things to look up there. So first, the summon monster spell means that the hyena has come in with the celestial template, which means that it has the ability to smite evil once per day as a swift action. So if I had remembered that, I would have used that prior to the attack. So I'm going to retcon this a little bit in your guys' favor, because sometimes I'm nice and say that did do the smite first, which means he gets a +2 on his damage.
Hell yeah.
He would also get a he'd get a -2 to the attack roll. So that doesn't change anything on that. So it wouldn't have made, I'd wait to see if it would have potentially made it a critical hit, but no. So he gets +2 to the damage, and also the attack, it doesn't explicitly state this, but I think it would make no sense otherwise, that if it's doing a smite evil, I think that means the attack should count as magical, because it's using a magical effect to do so, which means it bypasses the damage reduction, which means a full 11 points of damage is going through from that attack.
Get bit.
Which is not bad, but the web is still on fire, so I'm going to say there is a reflex saving throw with a DC equal to the spell DC, which to avoid 14. Taking damage. The spell DC, I believe, was... No, the spell DC of the web.
Oh.
17.
Okay.
Shit.
Ooh, reflex save is 8. I'm not going to do the full damage, because I think that's unfair, but we will do essentially half damage, so I'm going to do 1d4 points of fire damage. I think that's fair. And I rolled a 1. So he only takes a single point of fire damage from that, which I think is fair.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. I've also just realized that I haven't put up a little health bar so everyone can see how we know how to deal with hyena's doing, because there are too many tokens on this field already. You've got Bartholomew, you've got Casamina, now you can summon hyenas. I need to nerf the hell out of the number of people you can have on the field.
I mean, I can do the spell. I can do the spell three more times, like... I can if I want to.
Okay, so that is the hyena, which brings us to, and I remembered this time, Emlyn.
Yay. I'm going to take a 5-foot step forward, not forward, I lied, to the side, diagonally.
Okay.
And reload my gun as my move.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to musket shoot the guy who's in combat with the hyena.
Okie doke. So it's in combat, which gives it a -4 to the attack. And it also has cover from the web, because there is 5 foot of web between you and it. So that increased its AC very slightly. So just so we're aware on that. So you do the -4. I'll deal with the cover. We'll meet in the middle.
Because of my range, I'm now against touch AC again. So
you are.
Yay. So going to point blank, because we're in 30 feet. And... Yeah, let's go deadly aim, because why not? See how it goes. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Sure.
Yeah, do the thing. It's an 18 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It's only 7 damage. That's going to do fuck all.
Unfortunately, it does indeed do. And let me just calculate this. Carry the 1. Yeah, fuck all.
Yeah, well, we'll be on the dice, so.
unfortunately not the best, but it's... If you don't know, you don't. If you don't try, you don't know. That brings us to Mr. Dude on the south side, who is going to do nothing more than try to escape again, because that's all he's got, really. So this is against the DC, which is 17, wasn't it? And he rolls a 6.
No.
He's just going to stand there and do nothing then, I guess. Although, to be fair, at the end of this round, that web is going to be burned away, and he will no longer be ensnared.
No, but he will still be in like a little web tunnel.
Oh, yeah, he'll be surrounded by web, but he'll no longer be in it. Casamina is up next. She is going to...
I'm really excited for this.
I mean, she could chuck a dagger.
Go for it. Why not?
That's not the... I mean, she's got a couple of daggers. She's got... Apparently, I gave her 5 daggers. We could chuck a dagger. A dagger, yeah, why not? Okay, yes, she is going to chuck a dagger, apparently. So she is chucking into combat. There is a bonus to the AC because there's more than 5 feet between them. There's not quite 20 feet, though, so it's not total cover. She misses by a mile. She's not so good with the throw.
That's fair.
You can't do everything.
Yeah, she can have the punch, so.
Now that she knows the web is on fire, I think she's gonna move there, because she'll be able to get in this way past the hyena a little bit quicker. So she's gonna come around past you, Emlyn, a little bit closer to where the hyena, Amaranth, and the werewolf are. She's going to try and come in that way, maybe when the webs burn down a little bit more. Amaranth, you're up.
I'm going to try for a power attack, and I don't think I've ever done one.
Ooh, lovely power attack.
Unlimited power.
So power attack is a feat, which means that you can choose to take a -1 penalty on all melee damage attack rolls and combat maneuver checks, to gain a +2 bonus on all melee damage rolls.
Ooh.
A couple of exceptions to this. So one is that Amaranth's base attack bonus is now +4, which means you actually take a -2 penalty to the attack roll and gain a +4 on the damage roll.
Okay.
But you also have a two-handed weapon, which means that it's actually a -2 penalty to attack and a +6 to the damage.
Holy hell.
Is this going to calculate it for me?
There is a little tick box for power attack in the attack roll dialogue, and that will do it all for you, yes.
Cool. Let's do that then. Okay, so that's 13 to hit.
Unfortunately, 13 isn't going to do it.
That would have done 15 points of damage.
These guys are really, really tough skinned, unfortunately.
They suck.
But power attack is a useful thing to have in your back pocket. Just to be aware, in case you take any attack opportunity this turn, like power attack has to be used for all of your attacks until the beginning of your next turn now.
Well, let's hope these fairy bastards don't move.
Well, at the moment, they are currently on fire and stuff. So, but that does bring us to this guy at the top who knows himself well enough to know that he probably shouldn't move because there are two of you within range.
And he's on fire.
And that, you know.
He is going to try and hit the hyena with a longsword attack.
Aw, that's mean.
Well, the hyena just bit him. Still. Did quite a bit of damage.
Still.
And that is a 17 to hit, which does, in fact, hit.
Oh, no.
He deals 8 points of damage, which, unfortunately, is enough.
Oh, no.
Oh.
The hyena just, the sword comes sweeping through, and the hyena, at first, it almost looks like there's resistance to the blade, and then it just almost scatters like silver dust through the air.
I mean, that was hella pretty, though.
It was. But this creature, this werewolf, also has cleave, which means I get to make a second attack against Amaranth, because you are also within range. So second attack roll is a 21.
That hits.
Oof.
That is 13 points of slashing damage.
Ooh.
Can you deduct that for me, please?
I can. Would you like to tell the folks at home how you're doing?
It's looking a bit spicy, Chris. I've got to say.
That's a description. That's a description for it. It's a bit spicy, guys. A bit spicy.
So that would be spicy. Six. That would be six left.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, I can. I'm on it.
Are you? What? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Avena. It is you.
Right. This thing to the north of me, is that a bush or a tree?
That is a bush.
Okay. I am going to move to the bush and crouch down behind it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to dismiss the web.
Is web a dismissible spell?
Yes. It has the D.
Okay. Okay,
so it's a standard action.
No, dismissing is free.
Is it? Oh,
yeah, you can dismiss. You can. Oh. I'm pretty sure you dismiss for free.
I just when I looked that up and it said it was a standard.
Oh no, but... you're right. Sorry, no, dismiss a spell is a standard action. Take it back. That was me trying to be way too generous then.
As I say, that would change how I would proceed with this turn if it was a free action.
And it obviously also then stops all of the webs from burning, so all the burning is gone.
So. That's me done because I can't.
Yep. Okay. Lunamote.
Okay. I've got a couple of things I'm going to do.
Ooh,
start off with, okay?
Exciting.
Because I've been having another look through my character sheet and I found some other Gucci stuff.
Okay.
So to start off with, we're going to run over to next to Casamina and Amaranth.
Okay.
With one hand, I'm going to reach out and cast Inflict Light Wounds onto Amaranth.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Because, you know, Amaranth is my love. I love her. Got to help her. not in that way. We're just
bros.
You know,
begin.
We're just bros. No, it's cool. It's cool.
So that would be 8 points of healing.
Ooh, not bad. I will apply that to you now.
Thanks very much,
Chris. And then, so as I reach out to heal one, I'm going to look at which werewolf do I want to do this to? Badly injured or badly injured?
I go for badly injured, honestly.
Yeah. I'm going to look direct into the eyes at the one that is in front of me directly as I use a feature I have called Omen, where once per day I can attempt to demoralize an opponent as a swift action.
Oh, yes, you may. You can do that.
So
you've never used that before, have you?
No, I haven't, because I completely forgot it was even a thing I have until I was looking through and saw a 1/1 and was like, oh, huh, what does that do?
I love it. Okay, so demoralize. You can use this skill to cause an opponent to become shaken for a number of rounds. The DC of this...
Is that the same as being frightened?
Shaken is the lowest form of frightened, so it does count as a fear effect. They're not immune.
Oh.
They are just resistant to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not immune. Screw they're it. Just resistant. So shaken is the lowest form of fear. So essentially it goes shaken. I don't remember the order off the top of my head. It is shaken, then frightened, then panicked, I believe.
Cool.
That sounds right. Sure.
Sure. Well, I'm going to look this thing dead in the eyes as I, in like, you almost see like my skin fall back against myself as this like mirage in front of me comes ahead of a skull as an omen comes out of my mouth and says to this werewolf, the moon may be high as your power may be, but I can bring you low and fuck you right up. I couldn't think of anything to finish it.
Emote is good with the poetry.
Yeah, totally. Well, I will need a roll.
Okay, so you will need to roll a intimidation.
Okie doke.
I want to say, does your omen thing also mean you can roll something else as intimidation, or am I making that?
No.
Oh, no, you just get a bonus to your intimidation. That's it. Yeah. So you can roll an intimidation check.
Okay, so that was a nat 16.
Okay.
And I have a plus 9 to my intimidate skill.
Nice.
So that's a 25.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so with demoralize, if you are successful, the target is shaken for one round. This duration increases by 1 for each 5 by which you beat the DC.
Oh.
The DC for the check is equal to 10 plus the target's hit dice plus the target's wisdom modifier. And in this instance, that total comes to 14.
Oh.
He is shaken for 3 rounds. Which one are you targeting? The one to the north or the one to the south?
The one just in front of me to the north.
Okay. Well, so he is shaken.
And
three rounds.
Yeah, and the skull mirage in front of my face just sort of fades away as Ludamote looks back up and grins.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. So shaken, just so you're aware, is a minus 2 penalty to attack, save, skill checks, and ability checks.
Everyone fuck it up, come on.
top of the round, Emlyn, since there is no hyena to handle, we are straight to you.
Cool. I'm going to reload with my move action and shoot the one to the south.
Okay, go ahead. That is a clean shot.
Do you want to take the grapple?
More of them for the martial ones.
Oh, fair point. You're right. He is no longer grappled. Thank you for being honest.
So, deadly aim and point blank shot and no negatives now. Yay! Oof, not great. That's a 14 against touch.
Yeah, that hits.
Hey! 13 damage.
Okay. Three points of damage goes through. He's not looking great. He's really not looking too great. The fire did a lot of work. Singed, burnt, now a little bit crippled. It's not going well for him. And then it is his turn.
Oh no.
He is going to drop, because he was still holding his crossbow, because that's all he's used so far. So he's going to drop his crossbow. He can't draw and charge. That's a shame. So he's just going to move and draw as part of his move action, and he is going to run up here, and he is going to swing at you with his longsword.
Yeah. Okay.
Of course he is. What else is there to do? That is a 15 to hit.
Misses.
All right. Well, he tried. And then we come to our wonderful new pal, Kasim, who is going to take a 5-foot step forwards, because then she's in range of both of them, just in case. And then she's going to...
A flanking bonus, perhaps?
No, so she can only move a 5-foot step anyway. That's all she can move without triggering an attack of opportunity, which she knows is stupid. She is super smart. So she is going to... Yeah, I think she's just going to straight up flurry of blows again. Yeah. So full round action, flurry of blows. So starting with the one who's just to the right that Emlyn had shot at and that had just run up to Emlyn, because he looks to be the weaker, and then hopefully one hit will be enough, and then she can hit the other guy. She's not flanking. She doesn't have power attack, does she? No. So she's just going to go normal. So the first one is a 24 to hit.
Oof.
Which is a hit. And
nice.
Damn. 11 points of damage from that one hit. Oof. He is down. The second attack.
Two things to death.
The second attack. So she full on like like she kind of punches down, like into the top of his head, follows with the motion, and as she does, the one of her legs goes up behind her, almost like a ballerina, and then as she does, she kicks down with it towards the guy behind her, but unfortunately, she just misses with an 18.
Oh.
She damn well tried, and she looked graceful when she was doing it too. Amaranth, it's your go.
I'm gonna try for another power attack.
Okay, go for it.
Oh.
Ooh, that
looks
so
good.
That was a crit, Chris.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what's the confirmation roll?
I think the confirmation roll was an 18.
I'm afraid that's not confirmed.
That's magic. Do you want to know what critical damage would have been?
Go for it.
It would have been 34. As it stands, it is 18 points of damage. Can I go for a decapitation?
Would you believe 8 points of damage is just enough
to cleave
its head off.
You separate that wretched thing's head from its shoulders. It goes rolling to one side, over the side of the cliff, and just stops by the water, facing back up, almost as if it's looking at you from the side of the water.
I peer down and then kick the headless body off the cliff as well.
Nice.
That was terrifyingly well done.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good job, Alice.
Yeah.
Can I make a quick look at the bodies that are still up here?
The ones that Amaranth doesn't seem that interested in. Yes, you may. You may indeed. Did anybody use any ammunitions at all?
I think I used one of my... in the previous episode.
So you used one, yeah. We'll resolve ammunition stuff. Fine. Just remind me when we finish recording to resolve ammunitions. Okay, yes. Yeah, so you want to look at just what anything in particular you're looking for?
Just what they're carrying, if there's anything.
Okay, so all of them are wearing chainmail armor. They each have, maybe not on their person, but definitely nearby. Each of them had a light crossbow. Each of them had a longsword. And there is between them about... let's see, let's actually do the maths on this, shall we? So that is 30.
They are kitted out werewolves.
Yeah, they are. Fucking werewolves.
53 crossbow bolts between. But that is all they have.
Lunamote does turn to Amaranth and go, is this normal for werewolves to rely so much on man-made weapons? Like, these are kitted out.
Do I know, Chris?
So you would know some things about werewolves. While obviously you aren't normally able to roll knowledge local, because in terms of knowledge, the way I perceive it anyway, rolling a knowledge check in combat is about your ability to recognize something. It's not necessarily about your ability to know it. So given time to think, yes, you know things about werewolves. In the heat of the moment, you're not quick enough with that knowledge to recognize it on sight.
Okay.
The things you would know... werewolves are not, well, the vast majority of them are not typically mindless creatures. They are pack animals and they work amongst themselves, but they are also quite intelligent. They have humanoid levels of intelligence. Some of them are incredibly bright, and they're not going to forsake tools for the sake of their natural abilities if the tools are more useful. And when it comes to things like wearing armor, carrying weapons, that is quite normal. Mostly because, I think someone was asking last session about whether or not the curse could be transmitted.
That was me.
Yeah. So you would know, Amaranth, from your time both in Last Wall and living in the Shadowwood, and I believe we briefly mentioned you would have possibly interacted with like, the Askanor Lodge and other places that are in that kind of vicinity. So you would know that there are technically two types of lycanthrope. There are natural lycanthropes, and there are curse-afflicted lycanthropes.
Okay.
Natural lycanthropes are the ones that can transmit the disease, and they are also they also have the most control over themselves.
Cool.
But it's curse-bound ones, and anybody who becomes infected by it becomes a curse-bound lycanthrope. They are not able to transmit it except under incredibly specific circumstances. And they are the ones that are more feral. Because of that knowledge, the natural lycanthropes are very careful not to transmit it, which is another reason why they tend to use weapons.
Okay.
defend themselves rather than their natural weapons.
I relay all of that to Lunamo because I'm not going to repeat it.
I tell you, all the things the GM just said.
So these probably were the ones that could pass it on.
Probably.
Is anyone hurt by them?
Oh, I wouldn't mind a bit of healing, if that's okay.
Could I do any medicine checks to see if anyone who got hurt by them is actually, like, got bitten or clawed?
Yeah, you can go ahead and give me a heal check for so anybody who's taken damage, which I think is just Amaranth, Emlyn, and yourself. Oh, and Casamina. But as everyone. You go, apart from Vina,
yeah,
Vina hasn't, and neither has Bartholomew.
Well, it's just the bites, wouldn't it? Bites or claws?
Yeah, bites or claws is.
I think they only use their weapons.
Okay. If I'm gonna give myself a plus one with the guidance. That'd be 25.
Okay. So as you kind of look around, all the wounds that you can see have been caused by weapons. They're very clear weapons. The cuts are too neat to have been caused by natural weapons like claws or bites. Mm-hmm. And as you actually look towards Casamina, you find that she is actually looking like her wounds are already closing.
Oh, what?
Oh, I was about to offer her cure-light wounds.
But she still has wounds, but... seem like they're, she's kind of standing almost like not quite in a yoga pose, but she does seem like she's standing in a very specific pose and she's focusing her efforts. And there's like a slight, almost like she kind of tilts her head to either side. And you can see almost as if through some kind of force of sheer will, some of the wounds just closing on her exposed flesh.
She's Wolverining.
To some extent. Doesn't look quite, I mean, to peel back the curtain slightly, this is an ability called Wholeness of Body.
Equal to your monk level.
So it is a number of points equal to 1d8 plus the monk level.
Oh.
So she's not quite at full, but she has healed back most of the damage she took.
I'm going to make a point of like approaching her cautiously because it looks like I don't necessarily want to be disturbed. But I'm like, hi, Casamina, was it? Do you need any extra healing?
She just kind of shakes her head a little bit and just kind of continues to focus.
Okay.
There's a slight smile as she does it, but she just doesn't... She looks like she's just trying to keep her focus for now.
Okay, I'm going to move away awkwardly.
I need healing.
This bitch doesn't speak.
Lunamo is going to sort of heal up Amaranth until we're like almost at full. So that's another 7 points of heal.
Chris.
Another 7 points of heal.
Another one.
Are
you good?
One more, please.
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, it's obviously fine.
I have the positive energy equivalents on me today.
And that's another 5.
That's great, thank you.
Not bad.
And like Lunamote does it without even thinking, is just sort of there like pummeling this negative energy into Amaranth until Amaranth looks at least like half human.
So because the spell has a verbal correct component, quantity. I have like because it has a verbal component and the spell is called Inflict Light Wounds, in my head, it's just Lunamo like doing this fancy gesture and then like almost like full like palm touching and just going, die! 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 Yeah, how'd you feel?
Why not?
How'd you feel? You okay?
Yeah, death becomes you, pam.
Yeah, like, it feels very that. Okay, yes, so you, yeah, getting a look at them, one, you don't, you can't see anyone else approaching. It does feel like these three have come alone. And Amaranth, you wouldn't, like, this isn't even, like, werewolf-specific knowledge. This is more just tactical knowledge you will have picked up from your various different positions within Last Wall and different jobs you've taken over the years. A three-man squad is pretty standard for a scouting or patrol type responsibility. Mm-hmm. So the chances are them not returning might raise flags with whoever, with wherever they've come from, but you've definitely got time to get out of there.
Okay. All right. I think we need to leave now. Ideally, we need to be rejoining up with the caravan and putting as much distance between ourselves and the bodies as possible, because they're going to be part of a larger pack, and the larger pack's not going to be happy
Should we chuck them in the lake?
Just roll them off a cliff, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you roll the bodies off the side.
Hopefully it'll muddy the trail somewhat.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow. Make them somehow a little bit less obvious.
They all fell off the cliff. Whoops.
To the point where one was beheaded.
What clumsy werewolves.
Swords and guns. Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, that's not a problem. You can easily kind of deal with that.
Cool.
Right, let's huff it.
Let's skedaddle.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to head back to the rest of the caravan and...
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Or catch up to them, I suppose, because they carried on moving, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They moved a little further along. They were going to wait for you. They just weren't going to. They were just going to keep some distance from where you were setting up your little ambush. So within 20-25 minutes, you're able to find your way back to them quite easily, and then from there, you're able to. Caleb is kind of waiting for you as you return. How much information do you give him about what's happened? Casimina almost immediately disappears as well, by the way, when you get back. She kind of goes back into whatever caravan she travels in.
I mean, if they travel this way frequently, we might as well warn them in full. There's, no, I can't see any reason to withhold any information.
Okay.
Werewolves, Caleb.
he takes a moment to kind of let that kind of sink in a little bit and then gives orders out to the rest of the caravan to essentially make double time. All hands to holding down anything that's not been tied down properly yet, and they intend to make very quick time to get to Corto. He does also tell you that in the time that you were dealing with this, he had a discussion with Lydia and Viren and a few of the other members of the caravan, and they have decided that they're actually going to skip their show at Corto, rest for 8 hours once they get there, and then head immediately onto Leopardstad.
Okay.
Since things seem more dangerous the longer they wait, they're worried that things are going to just get worse.
Okay.
So they're just going to they want to head in immediately there.
That's fair.
So is there anything? Is there anything you want to do before setting off to Corto?
Don't think so.
Nah, Emlyn is like super eager to get going.
And you're not having fun, Emlyn? No.
You're
not enjoying the fun, the shenanigans of the open road.
I would like to be back in a city, to be fair.
Hmm.
Okay. So yeah, it only takes you like another hour and a half max to get to the outskirts of Corto. You kind of skirt around the city, and there's not so much like, as much as you were expecting there to be kind of a city wall, because that's how they kind of kept describing it, it's more like a palisade wall. It's not amazingly robust. It's kind of just a wooden palisade style that isn't even complete in some areas. But it is much more heavily fortified on the western side facing towards Belkazin. You kind of skirt around towards the northern side near the river, the Lesser Moutre River. And you camp up on the shore there. A couple of people do like fish for food for dinner rather than venturing into town since it is so late. And they kind of use the caravans to form almost like a perimeter circle around the center fire where you're sitting and eating and recuperating for the night. But the members of the Crooked Kin, they themselves offer to hold watch the whole night so that you can get a full rest considering you just saved them. They're going to protect you for tonight.
Aww, that's nice of them.
Cool. I was actually about to ask if they wanted volunteers for that.
No, they are pretty insistent that you've done a fair amount to help them. The least they can do is let you get a full night's sleep in.
Cool, I'm not going to complain.
As we are sort of just walking back from the fight, Lunamuk does sort of go to Avina at one point and sort of just bumps her shoulder to Avina's hip. And is like, that the web and the fire, that worked really well with that fight.
That's a new one for me. I haven't really tried it before. It's, I'll be honest, I feel a little bit icky because I don't like handling spider webs at the best of times, but it paid off.
It worked very, very well. I think maybe that's something we should do in the future again.
Is this going to lead us down the unfortunate path of pyromania?
I mean, you were able to dispel the web, were you not? And that stopped the fire?
Yes, true. I was hoping it wouldn't catch some of the vegetation alight, otherwise that would not be good. I don't want to be known as the person who wiped out the Shudderwood.
Well, I mean, would you be known as that since it wasn't you that set it on fire?
I would know that I did.
Except you didn't set it on fire. You helped me set it on fire.
Semantics, that would be... I'm afraid I would still know that I played a part, and I would feel somewhat bad. Plus, I don't want to see the inevitable angry druids that would be upset with that choice.
Hmm. You have interesting places where you draw the line with your magic.
I suppose. I don't... It's a tool. It's the use of... It's tapping into energy, like a spell can't, like, I know there's often an attitude of certain spells being seen as evil or something, I suppose, or malicious, but it's all, I would argue it's all about the intent of how it's used is what is important.
Huh.
Like, for example, the spells we use to heal Amaranth, that is a cast upon someone who was not, didn't have the same affinities as her, would cause pain, that would cause harm. But we're using it to heal, if you see what I mean.
I do. I hadn't thought of magic like that before. Well, good way of looking at it. It depends on what you use it for and the meaning behind the magic.
I mean, yeah, it's the same as when you use one of those daggers you're so fond of. Like, you can use that for good or for ill. It's the dagger doesn't decide, it's you.
And Lunamute sort of brings out one of the daggers, looks at the like blade as it shines in the half moonlight, and is like, maybe I need to rethink how much I use these for. And then pockets it again.
I mean, as I said, like, I'm always in favor of using whatever tools at your disposal. That's, if there's one thing I've learned, that's the best way to survive.
You've given me more to think about than I thought I would have with this conversation. I just meant for us to be like, hey, we have a 1-2 punch now.
But I mean, also that, we probably need to come up with some kind of like code name for it so we can like shout it out without giving it away to people who are the people who are trying to come after us.
I mean, we could just, if you web, I'll fire it.
Oh, but I liked the idea of having a code name for it.
Okay, we'll workshop that. We'll workshop that.
Okay.
And I think they do sort of spend a couple of hours like trying to like bicker back and forth, deciding on like a cool name for this like move.
I think Avina will be a little bit, will slip into a little bit of pretentiousness and be like, but I have so many languages. What does this sound like in Draconic, for example? Or
and Lunamute's there like, okay, but I can't pronounce that.
Okay, good point. I mean, I do know halfling.
And yeah, they continue this conversation.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, when you said that she looked at the dagger in the moonlight, I was getting a proper Sweeney Todd vibe.
Yeah, that was kind of the point.
See how my friends. Such a moment. Okay, cool. So yeah, you settle in for the night. You may take a full night's rest.
Woohoo! Yay!
Thank you.
Heal up probably most of the rest of whatever damage you have taken. Obviously recovering spells. And speaking of pyromania.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, you dealt with the fire that you made with the webs. No one said they put out the bonfire that you started a little bit at the beginning.
See, I thought about that. I did actually think about it, and I was like, it's funny. It'll burn itself out. It'll be all right.
So it was in an area surrounded by brush, by bushes, and...
Can we roll to see if we thought about fire safety and put like stones around it?
We didn't. We fucking didn't.
I didn't think I'd have to come up with a cabal of angry druids, but clearly that's the only way this is going to go now. No.
Do we see a sort of glowing orange on the horizon? Yeah,
you wake up and think, oh, there are two suns, but one of them's very low.
Hey, it's one way to deal with the Shadow Wood.
You smell smoke.
The place where I live.
You can find a new forest.
No, my things are in there.
You left things behind? That's so cute.
I was going to go back.
Don't know why, but in my head, I've got like a proper hobbit hole imagined now for Amaranth just in the middle of the Shadow Wood somewhere.
Oh, I was picturing a hollowed out tree trunk.
See, I was thinking of like, you know, like the tree activists where they make like the thing in the trees.
Oh, no. Yes.
It's like a shed/treehouse type.
Okay, so you wake up bright and early on the 5th of Farast, which is currently. It is, in fact, Sunday. Yes, it is. It is Sunday, and that is actually the name of the day. I'm not even making that up. Sunday the 5th of Farast. You have about a full day's journey, to be honest. It is going to be... it's about 25 miles, but it's not easy terrain. So it is probably going to take you the entire day to get from Corto to Leopardstad. You'll be arriving probably around dusk.
I mean, I think we'll just get underway.
Yeah.
They seem to drop the spirit of the... someone's put a lit a fire under them, so... No pun intended.
So you help the whole cricket kin are quite eager to get underway. They want to get to Leopardstad. Now they're all a little bit on edge between the Fae Spider and now these werewolves. They are getting a bit more nervous about the idea of traveling out in the open. And things do not feel safe and sound in Ustalav anymore. Not that they ever have truly been, but these days seem darker than most. You all set off quite early in the morning with the intention of getting to Leopardstad before full dark. But I should remind you that next week when we pick this up will be the day before Halloween.
Okay.
And who knows what you will find in the ancient and storied town of Leopardstad.
Oh, so spooky.
I have so many plans.
Halloween special. Last year was our dead friend.
But hey, at least we'll get our payout.
I will say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to top last year's, but I got some ideas.
See, this is the problem. You set your initial expectations too high.
I really did.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was dead friend. This year it's going to be
dead party.
I was gonna go for like dead people from our backstories.
Can I just please put out there that I do not want anything to happen to Winter or Bartholomew? That is like a hard limit.
They're immune.
Bartholomew is Halloween themed, so he cannot die on Halloween.
Alice, when you were saying about like people from your past, I immediately had this like really macabre version of This Is Your Life, and here they are today.
All of them zombies and skeletons.
Like just stumbling out on a stage with like an arm missing.
Depending on who they are, depends on how outraged.
Oh God, someone should stop me.
Someone please stop them.
Our intro music is The Descent by Kevin MacLeod. Our outro music is Unpromised by Kevin MacLeod. Find more of his music by visiting incompetech.filmmusic.io. The other music in this episode was provided by Sirenscape, providers of epic sound effects, ambience, and background music for tabletop RPGs. Visit sirenscape.com for more information. The Pathfinder role-playing game and the Carrion Crown Adventure Path are owned by Paizo Inc. and are used under Paizo's community use policy. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo and the Pathfinder role-playing game, visit paizo.com.